And now for something completely different.
Welcome to another edition of the Knowledgeable Sillitude Half Hour Hour on News Talk 1070. And now here's your host, the CEO, chief cook, bottle washer, and benevolent dictator of Ixman Mortgage, known affectionately to friends, creditors, and law enforcement as Brooksy Baby, none other than the one and only Bob Brooks.
Thank you very much, and welcome to Radio Free Ixman.
A much better name than the Knowledgeable Sillitude Half Hour Hour, which I have decided we are officially ditching as of next week.
Yay!
And you know, we have that kind of power here. We can change things on the fly.
Radio Renewal. Thank you very much.
Remedial Renewal.
We should change our name every week so we don't drive off all the listeners. They'll think it's something wonderful and new.
Yeah, we can chase them away right back into us again.
Yeah, really. Oh, these guys sound so much different. Huh?
So don't forget, guys, at the end of the show, we're being replaced by such and such next week, and we hope you'll listen to them instead of us.
And it'll be us! Never know.
You are listening to Radio Free Ixman. We are a program about mortgage and finance and things mortgage and finance related. However, you will find that we also are very entertaining. At least I think I'm entertaining in my own little world. And people have
and what a small world it is.
People have been known to laugh and point at you, yes.
But since you're paying for the airtime, we agree with you.
That's hey. Right. Thank you. And those people who laugh and point at me, well, they paid good money to get in. So come on. Later on the show today, we're gonna be speaking with Debbie Gore of Debbie Gore Insurance Agency. She is a mastermind of insurance. She can answer any kind of question you might have about insurance and insurance-related items, and she's going to talk with us today and inform us and just generally elucidate us.
You left out enlighten.
Yes, that too. Okay,
and illuminate. So that when we're done talking to her, we'll be the Illuminati.
Ah, there you go.
But whatever you do, stay away from the light. Don't go near the light!
Really?
They're here. Yeah, they'll be
there. Houston, we have a problem.
We certainly do, and we've barely gotten started.
Yes, and you can hear next to me on my left the beautiful dulcet voice of the tax goddess.
You may worship me now.
As have I, and it ain't cheap, believe me. The tax goddess knows a whole lot about tax. She's a CPA in the Kingwood area. Oh, that's right. Houston area now.
Hey, I looked up your company phone number and information the other day, and I gave Houston, and they said, no such name as Ixman. And I said, well, that's what I would have thought, too, until I met Bob. And slowly they convinced me there is such a name as Ixman. But you know, you show up in the humble directory assistance, not in Houston, not in Kingwood.
In a twist of irony, because there is nothing humble about us, I might add.
Actually, it's a weird thing about the zip code. In a certain part of Kingwood, in the oldest part, the zip code, if you put it into a computer, it pulls up as Humble. We don't live in Humble. Technically, we live in the city of Houston, but our zip code comes up.
We definitely pay Houston taxes.
Yeah, gosh, you get a bill from them.
Believe me when I say the tax goddess knows many things taxual. She's a taxing woman.
She's ow! Physically abusing Bob right now. But I think it may be just as much because Bob has completely failed to introduce the other co-host.
To my left, and again, I'll say it all the time, he's the only time you're going to find it on my left, Brewing Frog!
Thank you very much.
And directly in front of me is the diminutive, the petite, the wee man himself, Big Dog Dave Perkins.
I'm 6'4", and I produce radio shows like this for breakfast. And I now declare,
this station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Because I am at the console and in charge of the controls. No one will second guess my radio show production decisions.
Sorry, got carried away there.
You know, really need to take your medication before we start taping.
But it's so hard to unscrew the top.
There's never a 10-year-old kid around when you need one. I can't get the bottle.
Can you open this for me, darling? Yeah, thanks.
Quiet on the set.
Quiet on the set.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Hello.
Is this Debbie Gore?
Hi, Bob.
I'm Dave. He's Bob. I'm Dickens. He's Fenster.
That's right.
And they're scaring me both.
And where is the artful dodger when you need him?
I'm parts. He's labor.
Those were the names of the ducks we had.
Right.
Hey, Debbie.
Parts and labor?
You're Debbie
Gore. It's a long story.
Can you sing It's My Policy and I'll Cry If I Want To?
Yes.
And she has given the correct answer.
Without a moment of hesitation.
On the phone with us now is Debbie Gore, Debbie Gore Insurance Agency. Debbie knows just about anything and everything about insurance, and she loves to talk about it. Indeed, she will tell you that the only people who really like to talk about insurance are other insurance people. And she is indeed quite another insurance person. So we'd like to talk to her a little bit about insurance and all things insurance related. Debbie, I hate insurance. I hate getting different bills. Is there one person who can really just do it all, commercial and residential?
Yes, they can, actually. You can go to an agency that can offer all lines. Actually, not only just commercial and property, but also financial services as well.
Got any of those in mind?
Let's see.
Got any of those in mind?
Debbie,
okay.
This is the gratuitous plug moment.
And the setup, the windup, and the pitch.
And the softball comes floating slowly into view. What's the name of your agency, Debbie?
Debbie Gore Agency.
And, wait. Let me write that down, Debbie Gore. Hold on.
And she swings, and the ball dribbles slowly down the first base line.
That was a real tough question. I'm sorry.
Yes, we gave the first baseman plenty.
What's the name of your agency? 10 seconds, Debbie Gore.
Debbie Gore Agency?
Softballs for 200.
So you use actuarial tables in completing and computing everything. How do you guys do it, Vegas? That's what I want to know.
Oh, gosh, I don't do that portion of the industry. That's a whole other division. I'm sorry, did I mention that I don't do the actuarial table?
Well, you know, we do Vegas every time we buy insurance, especially life insurance, because we're betting that our life will be short enough that we won't pay them as much money as they pay us. And when we die young, we win. And that's just not right.
You're betting against yourself.
I guess that's one way of looking at it.
Give us the correct way of looking at life insurance, Kevin.
Well, actually, believe it or not, you're worth more alive than you are dead.
You have not been talking to my wife.
If you calculate your earnings up to the projected life span, your lifespan, obviously you're going to earn more money than you could capture in a life insurance policy. Although she may be happy to have you go sooner than that, Bob.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah. That would explain why we took different cars here. Yes.
Does the tax goddess do the cooking at your home?
Those beans tasted all right to me, honey.
Well, some men just can't hold their arsenic.
What's it like to work with Ixman Mortgage closely time after time, and why the heck do you keep doing it? Haven't you learned your lesson by now?
A lot of times when clients come to me, they're already in that process of possibly having a mortgage person that they've been working with or they might possibly be considering. And I ask for the opportunity for them to get a competitive quote. I know that he has the availability of a lot of different avenues that he can help people. So what I've learned out of it from my clients, and of course, I'm going by my clients, and they've got real positive feedback, and that's that, they actually can find rates that apparently others can't. And they're also very to take care of them, and they handle everything as quickly as possible, and they handle everything for them. And believe me, one of my big pet peeves is competency, so that's extremely important to me. So if I refer someone to someone, they've got to provide that service, and that's what I found happen. At least that's the feedback that I get from my clients.
These guys are good. Very good.
Program after program, Bob, people in your industry and affiliated industries keep saying good things about your company, Ixman Mortgage. How can you afford to keep writing all these checks?
No, I was going to say, it's amazing what taxidermy does. Oh, wait, that was my line last week.
And the dog bribery. Still looks exactly the same.
Really? No, he's merely stunned. That's it.
So what do you, Bob, have to say about Debbie that's good and would make people want to call Debbie Gore Agency?
Well, you know, she answers her darn phone. And that's very important in this business. And she will talk to you and explain to you things about insurance. See, I don't know diddly about insurance. I just know it's an expense that I kind of feel like I have to pay. So if you have someone who knows a whole lot about the industry and can explain to you why you're paying, what you're paying, sometimes that helps. Also, you know, there are details with regard to every type of policy that you have to do. And those are the details. You know, the devil is in the details. Heaven is in the details. The details will bite you in the butt. Well, you're talking to a very butt-bitten person here, by details.
Luckily, this is not television, and we don't have to see the scars.
You better thank the Lord.
I was trying not to get that visual there.
It's too late for us. Save yourself. Yeah. What's the biggest policy you ever wrote, Debbie? Because we love statistics here on this program. We love to be bowled over by giant numbers.
If something... I wrote a 300-person plan group health at one point in time, so that's a lot of employees, so that turned into a large dollar. I don't know if you can really compute it into dollars per se. Everybody has different risks, so the dollars protect those risks, so it's you can kind of determine that, that's kind of an ambiguous question.
Well, I'm leaning forward toward disasters here, you know.
And I'm trying to figure out,
like, if somebody died or a building fell down, how many millions would have to be paid? That's the number I'm looking for.
So we're talking about so property casualty and the losses. As a matter of fact, last year, as you know, with the storms that hit and them coming into areas that they weren't in anticipation of them coming into, the insurance industry really was in anticipation of millions of dollars worth of losses. And in actuality, there were actually billions of dollars worth of losses. So there are huge catastrophes when we have these storms and such.
Well, I'm told that actually a disaster can sometimes be good for an insurance company, even when it has to pay out, because it gives them an excuse to raise their rates. Is that true?
Gosh, no, I've never... I don't know who's saying that, but no, I haven't heard that one. And no, that's true. It's all based upon a risk. And obviously, as I tell everyone, that insurance companies are a profitable business. They're not a charity organization. And unfortunately, when the risk is there, they have to be compensated to pay for all of those risks. So that's where a lot of the increases might come upon, you know, insurance policies going up. Plus, another thing I try to people, especially like when in your auto and things of this nature, it's not that your insurance premiums go up per se, it's that you lose discounts, because there's a lot of things involved with your policies, and a lot of which is a lot of discounts that you're eligible for. So when things happen to you, you know, for example, claim free, not having accidents or things of this nature, things not happening to you, then actually what happens is those discounts fall off, and it seems as though to the consumer, obviously, that their premiums have gone up.
So the old saw about the fellow who's had nothing happen to him through his whole life, yet his rates go up, and the agent tells them, well, it's because you're due?
Right.
This is not true, then, I'm guessing.
No, and I mean, obviously, costs, again, they're businesses, and they have cost of operating that business. So there may be increases in that sense. And of course, insurance is extremely complicated. There are so many factors that come into play that create that premium dollar that consumer pays. A lot of it is, you know, just pay attention to trying to do all the things that safeguard you from having, you know, the types of casualties. You know, try and be a safe driver. Well, of course, we can't do anything about the storms if we're lucky enough we don't live in an area where it's going to happen to us. Things of this nature, you know.
So you're saying that Ben Roethlisberger would have a hard time getting a new motorcycle policy, and that a new homeowner's policy is out of the question for Zarqawi.
And I can no longer drive down Beltway 8 at 140 miles an hour with a rocket launcher.
Right. It might be categorized as a little high risk there.
What was that old song? What was it?
It might charge you a little extra, Bob.
Yeah. My Maserati goes 185. I lost my license.
Now I don't drive.
All those things are relevant.
Well, absolutely. You should know about risk, Debbie, because you took a big one coming on this program today.
And that was kind of scary.
You indeed. Ain't heard nothing yet. The FCC's got your phone number now.
I want to write your policy.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Debbie.
Very welcome.
We really appreciate it. Ta-ta for now.
All righty. You guys have a great day.
You got to let out at least two cheers for an insurance lady brave enough to spend time on this program and risk the reputation she spent years building up in her business.
She was very good. Extremely knowledgeable. Got to like that.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys have got to hear this. This is the Houston Chronicle. London.
Oh, barnacle.
Cron.com. I love that website. Doesn't that sound like some really bad science fiction movie?
Some blue glowing guy riding a motorbike on that.
Welcome to Cron.com. I am your father.
Oh, wait, that was Yoda. Was
it? Here we go again. Same cafe. Different scene.
It all goes back to this, doesn't it?
Sire, you, I will. Yes.
But it does make you look at the Chronicle weird when they put articles in there like the one that you've been looking at.
Okay. A British government worker has been fired and another demoted following allegations they were involved in serious misconduct.
Serious.
Including leaping naked from filing cabinets and having sex in office lavatories.
That's what I wonder.
Northeast England, they also took drugs at work, brawled in the reception area, and carried out pranks such as, I can't believe I'm saying this on the air, vomiting in cups and leaving them for other people to find.
Good Lord, what is this smut you're listening to?
These are government employees!
I was going to say, surely they're UN employees.
They're not, and stop calling me Shirley.
It sounds not too far from the kind of things the United Nations people do while their second in command goes and makes a speech before a democratic think tank dissing middle America as being too stupid to know what the UN does and yeah, being really misinformed by the evil, you know, Rush Limbaugh and Fox News and all of that.
And let's face it, in our own small way, us!
Yeah. Listen to this. This is Mark Mallock Brown, second in command at the United Nations, an international diplomat whose salary is paid, by and large, with American tax dollars.
Much of the public discourse that reaches the U.S. heartland has been largely abandoned to its loudest detractors, such as Rush Limbaugh and Fox News.
Note the intentional, for purposes of seeming dismissive and superior, mispronunciation of the name of a man who clearly is well-known enough to Mallock Brown to run him through two bottles of Rolaids a day.
The UN's role is, if in effect, a secret in Middle America, even as it is highlighted in the Middle East and other parts of the world.
See, if we were smart enough, we'd understand their compelling arguments for the superiority of the United Nations. But as it is, we're just dumb and deaf, and we can only hear the people who talk loudest.
But the important thing is that Middle America may be too stupid to understand, but they're not too stupid to be expected to pay for it.
That's right.
No, ain't that the truth?
The thing is,
shut up and give us your money.
We're in Texas. We come from Middle America, and we understand that when the UN sends blue helmets to peacekeep and protect the local population, they bring their camcorders and they film grotesque scenes with underage children on the part of the locals so they can exchange their bodies for food. That's what the UN does.
And that's Paris.
You understand that the UN takes millions in kickbacks to hand billions to tyrants who are supposed to be being starved of cash.
Thank you, Mr. Anon.
Peace activists have never met a tyrant or a dictator they didn't love. Ain't that the truth?
Isn't that the grand irony of it all?
They're trying to fall back into the Shay Love Fest thing. Everybody can be a new Shay if they want to, if they can be radically chic and, you know, all that kind of good stuff.
But what most people don't realize, this UN codger said, this Mark Mallock Brown, after he made the comment about Middle America being too ill-informed, brackets, stupid brackets, to understand what the UN does, he also said, who, rhetorical question, who will campaign, rhetorical question, for the Democrats, who will advocate a new multilateral foreign policy for the United States? The UN is now directly, publicly, by speech-making and think-tanking, involving themselves in the American system of elections. For that, I vote bulldozer that building into the Atlantic Ocean and kiss it all goodbye. This radio station is taking on a new muscular field.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Oh, yeah! They're going to listen to us now. Did somebody say we need to talk about mortgages?
It seems like a reasonable thing
to do. I just think that's going down the wrong road for Radio Free X-Man, sponsored by X-Man Mortgage Company, to talk about mortgages. How about you, Bob? You're the president of X-Man Mortgage. Should we talk about mortgages?
By all means.
No, this is giant chicken impersonation.
Nice boy, but doesn't listen to a word you say.
Why don't we talk about a very basic aspect of mortgage, and that is proving income or not proving. To prove or not to prove income, because a lot of you clowns out there...
Hey, kids!
Make income, but can't necessarily prove it.
You know, we can understand you better if you didn't have that giant red thing on top of your nose.
Exactly. And the scary thing is those giant shoes are actually the right size.
Hey, a freak show!
Yes. But I'm sad on the inside.
So much for our effort to talk about mortgages.
No.
Amazing how quickly it deteriorates.
No, let's bring this back to what I was talking about. And that is proving income versus not proving income. Mm-hmm. As you know, when you go get a mortgage, generally speaking, you're expected to prove some kind of income. You have to have a job. You have to show money going into a bank account. But if your credit score is such, you don't necessarily have to prove income. We call those loans stated income loans. And generally speaking, stated income loans are going to have a little bit higher interest rate associated with them. And sometimes the underwriting on them might be a little bit more stringent. But by and large, if you're willing to take a little bit higher rate with a stated income loan, they're far faster and they're far easier to do.
I'm reminded of a story once when Daryl Royal, the immortal, do we have angelic music?
Now we do.
Anyway, you know, the companies, anytime you say the word Daryl Royal, anyway, so Daryl Royal goes into the locker room after the Longhorns managed to lose a game to somebody they really should have beaten, a tied-up goat. And he says, boys, evidently everything that I've learned you about football has gone in one ear and out the other. So we're going to start over at the beginning. Boys, holding up a football, he says, this here's a football.
some offensive lineman in the back raised his hand and said, "Coach, you're going too fast." So, you've broken it into the word loan. What in the world are you talking about when you say loan?
Loan?
Yes.
Okay, I want to... all right, very good, children. Sit down. I want to buy a house, okay? I don't have any money, or maybe I have just a little tiny bit of money. I must borrow the money from a bank. This is pretty basic stuff, guys.
There you go.
Okay, that is a loan. Or, when it's with property, it's a mortgage.
Okay, now
we're really making
now
some progress.
Yes, now we've almost leveled out the ground, and we can start building the foundation.
In order to get a loan from the bank has to have lots and lots of money.
I've got 90,000 pounds in my pajamas.
Sing along, everybody.
I've got 40,000 French francs in my fridge.
I've got lots of lovely lira.
Now the Deutsche Mark's getting dearer. And my dollar bills would buy the Brooklyn Bridge.
Everybody.
There is nothing quite as wonderful as money.
Money, money.
There is nothing quite as beautiful as cash. Some people say it's folly, but I'd rather have the lolly. With money you can make the splash.
Une fois encore.
There is nothing quite as wonderful as money.
Money, money, money.
A key change coming by surprise.
Cash, cash, cash.
Everyone must hanker for the butchness of a banker. It's accountancy that wakes the world around.
You can keep
your Marxist ways, but it's only just a phase. For it's money, money, money makes the world go round.
Money, 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 money.
Never forget how important it is that the bank have money in order for you to get a loan to buy a house.
Well, and that's why we're here.
Now, let's back up one step from the money song, and that is you don't necessarily have to go to the bank.
Well, it was just a total universal expression.
Yes, I know, but you see, this is something that everybody seems to get tripped up on. Especially and you have the giant big box bank company saying, "Hey, come to us for a house loan."
In fact, that I understand, though I've never done it myself, is a very, very bad idea.
It is indeed, because that's where X-Man Mortgage comes in.
Yes, we're going to tell you why.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you why. If he would quit telling you, that I'm going to tell you why. That's where X-Man Mortgage comes in, because what we can do is we have access to all kinds of many multitudinous different banks. Different banks have different programs. And let's face it, your credit is like a fingerprint. Everyone's is different. What they've done in their past is different. Not necessarily sorted, but different. It's really important to consider the options of a mortgage company like X-Man Mortgage, because we have access to many different lenders and indeed many different banks. And each bank has different lending programs, and everybody's credit is different, okay? And what's going to work for you is not necessarily going to work for someone else. And in fact, there might be many different things that work for you, each offered by different banks. And we can present those to you in a very, clean way, straightforward way.
Now, when the market's booming like it is right now and a lot of houses are being bought, a lot of purchases every month, the lenders are kind of in competition with each other, aren't they?
No, you better believe it. And we thrive in that environment, and we love the competition. We love to show you what we can do with regard to someone else and in compared to someone else. So we're quite good at what we do. We answer our phones, and we're very fast.
And the people who lend the money, that is to say the big box banks, are also in competition with each other to try to lend more. And that's where the advantage programs come from.
You better believe it. But generally speaking, banks tend to be a little bit more diversified. They don't have to do mortgages. And so maybe they're not as compelled as, say,
again,
a mortgage company.
I use the B word, and I apologize, but it was a universal term. I mean money lenders.
You do that again, indeed. And I'm going to smack you silly, sir.
That's why I sit way over here on the other end of the counter.
There you go.
And let's face it, you're already silly.
You keep saying you answer your phones, but you never give the number.
281-813-0509. Hurry, operator is standing by.
Yeah, don't worry, folks. He turns his cell phone off while in the studio, so it won't go ringing and annoying us. And you know,
although that might be more interesting than any of the things we've done so far.
We hook that little charger into his chair. It's like, hey, folks, call his phone right now and watch Mr. Brooks jump.
Right, the live video is online. At our
Minute 28 of the show, he was pronounced dead. Yes.
Yeah, but if you get a zap big enough in your seat, that's really going to put a different meaning on streaming video.
That kind of frank dialogue troubles me.
We violated essentially a canon of this program, and that's even though it's an X-Man Mortgage radio-free X-Man program, we decided long ago we wouldn't spend a lot of time talking about mortgages. We did today. Got bored. Couldn't help ourselves. And so before we go, I guess we ought to give all the contact information for X-Man Mortgage in case anyone wants to give you a call or borrow some money from you, and then we can get it all out of the way so next week we don't have to talk about mortgages.
That's right. And those of you who are familiar with Google, or as we call it in my house, Darth Google, Just go to Google and type in our letters, IXMAN, and we're the first folks there.
IXMAN.
Actually, all of your search engines should pull them up, since they all bow to Google.
It responds with a reference to this company, the company named after a dog that was named after an author of Aztec history. Am I still correct on
more
this
or less?
It's true, though. It's a nickname of a dog.
Yes.
Wait. X-Man was a big dog. What was his
there
real
you
name?
Ixtlilxochitl.
Can you say that again?
Yes.
Hey, I'm not going to flinch. I mean, I can play for a sucker here. Somebody else can talk for me.
I don't know. That sounded really good.
Will you say it again?
Sorry. Yeah.
I love it when a girl says, don't make me laugh. Yeah, okay,
oh, well,
sure.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. It's just so lyrical and musical and crystalline and pure and perfect when it comes from the tax goddess. One more time.
Ixtlilxochitl.
It was good. It just wasn't fantastic.
As always, against the best advice of broadcast consultants, neighbors, listeners, this program will be back again next week here at the same Ix time.
Same Ix channel. Ix-Man!
For the good of the public, copies of this program will not be made available for encore listening.